弟兄姊妹平安。
Peace be with brothers and sisters.
我们真有平安吗？
Do we truly have peace?
认为自己有平安的举手。
If you think you have peace, raise your hand.
很好。
Very good.
当你有平安的时候，你有没有想到今天全球有很多人没有平安的？
When you think you have peace, do you know that there's a lot of people don't in this world?
神愿不愿意他们也跟我们一样有属天的平安？
Do you think that God wants them to have peace from above as well?
今天神的心意是什么？
What is God's will today?
基督徒的职责又是什么呢？
And what is the duty of a Christian?
我们先基督祷告。
Let us pray first.
天父感谢你。
Heavenly Father, we thank you.
因为你将属天的平安赐给我们。
Because you have given us the peace from above.
因为你在耶稣基督里拣选了我们。
Because in Jesus you have chosen us.
但是我们想到主，你愿意成为万人的救主。
But Lord, we remember that you want to be the Savior of all nations.
因此求你指教我们当如何能够帮助别人。
So therefore, you teach us how to be able to help others.
把从你而来白白得来的也白白舍去。
What you have given us freely, we'll be willing to freely give it to others.
求主你洁净你卑微仆人的口。
Lord, may you please cleanse your servant's lips.
也赐给弟兄姊妹有可听的耳朵。
And also give brothers and sisters listening ears.
让我们讲个听的。
So that we can be edified whether we speak or we listen. We give all the glory to you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So
today my title is Be a Blessing to All Nations. Every one of us who belong to Christ, we can be a blessing to all nations.The passage that we read, it was the greatest commission for the church. How do we be a blessing to all nations? There's three points that I can share. The first is to share the gospel. Have you ever focused on flies on a window? There's a lot of people that are like flies inside the window.
你不要看他们道行茫然的，好像穿金戴银的。
It seems like they're carrying all these wealth of this world.
如果他不是基督徒，他就是像玻璃窗上的苍蝇。
If they don't know Jesus, they are just like the flies on the windshield.
玻璃窗上的苍蝇看前面一片光明，但是它没有出路。
Because flies, when they see ahead, they can see everything, but there is no exit for them.
今天许多的人就像。
In this day, there's a lot of people that are just like the flies. They don't have an exit. Jesus wants us to show mercy on them. In the Old Testament, Lord said to Abraham, and he said, I will bless you. All people on earth will be blessed through you. Not only did God bless Abraham, Lord also blesses every one of us who belong to Him. Do you amen to that? So do you know your mission? Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore, go.Jesus wants us to go into the nations. Jesus uses his receiver's title and uses that to call and send out all disciples. Today, you and I, the church, we have to reflect. Are we spreading the gospel with the Lord?Some might say I'm busy with church ministries. Or some people are busy with carrying their own family business. And some say they have elderly parents that they have to care for. Or young couples, they focus on their children's education.May God really remove the stumbling blocks ahead of us. If we all make excuses, then who will share the gospel to others?
去, 是, 你们要去。
Here it says go, it means you have to go.
你, 我, 他, 每一个基督徒都要去。
You, me, them, they, all Christians have to go.
这是万王之王的恩召。
It is the calling of the King of Kings.
是全权全能者的指示。
And it's the instruction of the Almighty.
是耶和华军队元帅的命令。
And it's the command of the Jehovah.
毫不犹豫。
We don't have any hesitations. And we have to have an absolute certainty. And no, we don't have any compromise. And you can't reject
judgment.
And it's something that we must immediately do. Today, there's a lot of Christians who don't know that. Or maybe this passage you have read thousands of times. Yet you neglect the fact that this passage was speaking to you, and it was speaking to the church today. I must admit, many years ago, I neglected the word go, the command go. And many years later on, I was reminded and acted on it. I have been to many places to spread the gospel. And today, I still am going to go. Do you know what Paul says? He says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Actually, not only does Paul have to say that, we also have to say similarly. Because if we do not spread the gospel, we're going against God's will and command. Those who have been a soldier knows that you cannot reject the commands. And to us, how can we disobey God's command? In this world today, there are about 15,000 ethnic groups. And over 6,000 ethnic groups have never heard of the gospel. Actually, to those people, it's not because they do not want to believe in Jesus. It's actually because they've never heard of the gospel. Because nobody went to them and shared the gospel with them. Maybe you're not a full-time missionary, but you must be an evangelist. You have to proclaim God's good news. The greatest commission that Jesus has given. It is actually a continuation of the covenant he had with Abraham. God's will is to use the gospel of Christ to save the whole nation. And God wants to use the church, which means you, me, and them, and everyone, to complete the salvation. This was back in 2017 when I went to Honduras. They were very poor. That is what they sleep on at night. They don't have an actual bed, all they have is a hammock. And that's what their houses look like, built with soil. They don't have any shoes. Even to a point, they don't have enough to eat. Their children, they're very sorrowful. We give them a little gift, and they're already lining up to receive. Even a girl's hair ties, one child getting a couple, they're extremely excited. After I returned from Honduras, I went to church to share about the short-term mission. After the sharing, a sister came to me. And she says, oh, next time you go to Honduras, please take me, Pastor. And then she followed up with two additional questions. And she says, are there a lot of mosquitoes over there? I said, there's a lot of mosquitoes. And she says, oh, how unfortunate. I really don't like this image. I was questioning, you were really excited about going there, but then how come you're reframing for me now? And I said, I already got bitten by mosquito many times. It's okay. You know, receiving the grace of sharing the gospel is not great. If you don't go, people don't hear, then how do they believe in Jesus? My brothers and sisters, we were once the lost ones. Today, you and I have been found. But do you know, this world, there's so many lost out there. God wants us to go into them, to find them, and share the gospel with them. Because you and I, every Christian, have this undeniable responsibility. You and I all have the mission of spreading the gospel today. Jesus wasn't asking the disciples for their thoughts. He was giving the command. And this command is not just for the disciples then, and it's also for you and I today. In July of 2019, I went to an international short-term missions meeting. One person mentioned a taxi driver in Hong Kong. He shares the gospel with all the people that he gives rides to. He prays to God. He says, God, I'm not like a pastor. How do I share the gospel to people? But your command to me, God, is to go and spread the gospel to all nations. So he recorded different minutes, different time frame of the gospel sharing. So when a passenger come onto his car and give the direction, he knows how long, roughly, the travel time will be. So then he chooses the specific recording of time frame that the travel distance will be and plays that specific recording for the passenger. Even though not every customer who listens to it believes, but there are actually a couple who believed because of him. He has shared the gospel to all the nations. What does the story tell us? Doesn't matter what field you're working in, you will face people. So therefore, your work field is the harvest field. You have to grasp on the opportunity to share the gospel with people around you. Do you amen to that? When you said amen, you have to say to the person next to you, you have to go spread the gospel. Did you say it? One more time. Is that enough? No, it's not enough. So let's look at the second point. Make disciples of all nations. I believe that when you're a Christian, whether big or small, you have shared the gospel in one way or another. But you all must have faced this difficulty of after sharing for a long time, the person just doesn't believe. Anybody have this experience? If you truly love that person's soul, and you have truly shared the gospel with them, but that person just doesn't move at all. Are you really anxious about it, or are you just complaining to God? God, I already done my part. That's enough. Do you continue to share the gospel or you just let it be? God's purpose of calling Israelites is to make all nations turn to God. And the purpose of God calling us is the same. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. God not only asks us to go and share the gospel with them, He wants us to bring them to God and turn them into children of God, just like you and I. Don't think that's a job responsibility of pastors. It's a responsibility of you and I, of every Christian. It is our duty and it's our responsibility, then what should we do? When we look at the four Gospels, we look at how Jesus shared the Gospel with people. He has been an example. Jesus went seek and save the lost. If you look at the Gospel of Luke, you will see. The tax collector might be even shorter than me, but he has been saved. Because Jesus went to where he was. And Jesus said, Sakai, I will be there with you. I will live at your house today. Not only did he went to the city that he was living, not only did he live at his house, he also entered his heart. Jesus deliberately went to him. It is something that we need to follow. We have to sacrifice for it. When we want to bring people to Jesus, we must have a strategy, and we're willing to sacrifice for it. I believe every church wants to have more people saved in the church. The numbers increase. We not only have this type of hope and this type of prayer, we must have a strategy to walk into the crowd and bring them into church. In August of 2018, I went to Taiwan for a short-term mission. My heart doctor told me one of my chambers was not closing correctly. And 2 months before I went to Taiwan, I had a minimally invasive surgery. Many people told me, Taiwan is super hot. You don't want to live anymore? I said, I have prayed about it, and I mentioned to the short-term mission I will be going, and I have peace in my heart, so I am going. So because at that time, I can bring people to God. And they're all girls, and I was the only man amongst them. We went to the villages in Taiwan. When our church mission was leaving Guangxi town in Taiwan, an 81-year-old sister asked me to pay a visitation to a neighbor. The white shirt lady, she's a neighbor. The first time we went to her place and shared the gospel with her. But she doesn't believe. And the middle sister was the 81-year-old sister who invited me to return to her home before we departed.
的这位75岁的跟我一起陪她去。
And the lady in the blue shirt, she was my partner, so I brought her with me to go pay the visitation.
她曾经是尼姑庵长大的，就是尼姑庵英文怎么发？就是。
Like a Buddhist temple type of thing? Okay, she grew up in a Buddhist temple type of place. So she had a lot of experiences with Buddhist words. Because in Taiwan, they really focus on Buddhism. So the sister told them, oh, Buddhism is fake.So then after the sister mentioned that and I shared a little bit more about Christianity, the sister believed. So any of you 75 yet? If God can use those 75-year-old sisters, he can use you. You can bring people who are saved by God. Because Jesus has already said, you bring all nations to me.If you can't bring people to God, then that's your problem. In May of 2019, I went to Myanmar with Pastor John.So in New York City, Wenzhouese Christian Association, they were praying for me every day. And at that time, I felt like I was empowered. And I was very anointed. Not only did I bring children, also adults to believe in Christ. In Myanmar, they're very poor as well. That's the place that they live. Are you willing to go?Maybe 2 weeks without showering. And you have sweat dripping down your back. And complete soil on the ground. They don't have a place where air conditioned or heated. But we to share the gospel and many people came to the service.And every time I ask you want to believe, a lot of children raise their hand. I do. Have you seen children this devoted in worshiping God? There are so many people. In Myanmar, there's three most. They have many orphans. They have a lot of drugs. And poverty. So there are so many people today that we have to bring them to God. We're not going there for a show. We really have to bring them to believe in God.We don't look at ourselves and look at how weak we are, because God has told us, go and make a disciple of all nations. God is not asking you whether you can or cannot. He's asking you whether you're willing or not. When God asks me, I said, well, I'm willing, then he will add the can onto me.When I pray to God, God says, you go make disciples of all nations. I said, please add it onto me. You and I all can. When you cannot bring people to God at this very state, a very moment, keep on praying, keep on asking God for power. So a couple weeks ago, I received an email from Minority Mission Center. So last July, Pastor Jiang and his wife went to Amazon Forest. And they know that there are over 1,000 tribes over there that have never heard the gospel. So they have changed their mindset and they want to go over to the Amazon Forest and share the gospel. They don't have a good transportation system. They have to use boat to get into the forest. There's no cars, there's no airplanes. It is a very foresty place. But they're willing to go into them. They're willing to go into the forest and share the gospel with them. So last July, I received information from the Minority Missionary Center sharing their ministry in India. And that's the place that they live at. They don't even have roads to get into the houses. It is also a third world country, very poor. We can bring a small gift to them and it will attract them to listen to the gospel. And it doesn't matter big or small, we share the gospel a little bit. There will be people willing to accept. So in New York, we have a spreading gospel center, ministry center. You might have received a testimony pamphlets from us, from the group. The president at the center, she retired. She was 96 years old. She retired. And I became the president now, starting last year, January 1st. So every month we pay visitation to correctional facilities, to the inmates that are there. Maybe to the world, the people in the correctional facility should be put to a death sentence, and they're terrible people. But after talking to them and sharing the gospel with them a month after month, they actually returned and repented and believed. Even someone who has murdered someone, who have been in the correctional facility for 25 years, after he has came out of jail, he became a pastor. Every month we not only share the gospel with them, baptize them, we also go return to the correctional facility to edify them. Actually, in God's hand, all rubbish can be used for good. Because anyone in Christ, they are a new person, new being. This is today's date. There's a lot of people saying that they are Christians. But the funny thing is, we can look all over the place, they don't look like a Christian, they don't act like a Christian at all. You are a Christian, are your children Christians as well? I have to say, a lot of Christian families have fallen backwards.
生的信仰，到年老的时候仍然到教会，不过呢，你已经来自不多了，你后继无人。
There's many people who have been Christians all their life, and they're close to their deathbeds, but there's no one succeeding them afterward. Because your children did not carry on the Christianity from you. What do you do? Aren't they anxious?We have to hear, says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. It doesn't occur naturally. It's not like immigrants, you came here and you bring all your family here and they all become immigrants and they get status. Jesus, your God, your Savior, make Him the Savior of your children as well by sharing the gospel with them. Doesn't matter how old you are, how many descendants you have. When you're still alive, you have the responsibility to sharing the gospel to your children, to your family. You have to share the gospel.Be a blessing to others. It has to start with you, your family. I see many Christians, they themselves are Christians, have been Christians for many years, but their spouse is not. Many who will walk into church with canes and stuff, but their family, their children are not Christians. You have to love their soul. Share the gospel with your family. But today when we share the gospel, we have to have a focus. To make sure your children know how good it is to believe.When you share the gospel elsewhere, they don't know how you are in your home. But your family, your children see you in and out of the house and know how you are as a person, as a character. Shouldn't you have the gospel change you first? Because when you are changed, you have power to share.So there's a disciple from the Gentiles. He is someone who is very capable of sharing the gospel. We can be like him. Do you know how he shared the gospel to others? He's not afraid of being persecuted.He's willing to go to places that no one has ever shared the gospel to. He shared the gospel boldly. Even to a point when he was housebound, he was house arrested, he was still willing to share the gospel. So we have to be like Paul and follow his strategy.Not only sharing the gospel boldly, wherever there's a need, willing to go there. And let your life be a witness. Wherever Paul went, he was a positive influence. He was able to change the people placed there.Some people say they're Christians for many years, but everywhere they go, they have a negative influence, and they offend others. He'll say, you don't know my temper? I say, don't you know Moses has killed someone in the past? And then how did God rebuke him and change him?And Moses' humbleness is over anyone in the world. So today, our life must be a witness. You are willing to share the gospel, but you don't have a testimony. People don't want it. Have you ever heard a brother or sister that comes to church, but someone else has made them fall and they no longer come to church anymore? Why? Well, because this person doesn't have a testimony. I understand that we all have weaknesses. If this person stopped coming to church due to you, then you woe to you. May you repent with God and have the courage to return to that brother and sister and ask for forgiveness. Some people might say, I have a lot of gift of sharing gospel. Paul, he was able to share the gospel so widely, not only because he's bold and his life has testimony. Having those two is not merely enough. Paul says, in front of you, I'm like a mother caring for his children. And I'm like a father who teaches you. So bring someone to church, you must have a parental heart. Would you say giving birth to a child is easier, or raising up a child is easier? But if you can't give birth, then it's a little difficult. When God has created you, He has given you the ability to give birth. When you bring someone to church and listening to the gospel, it's not enough. When you give birth to a child, people say, oh, you did a good job. But your job is not done yet. You have to bring them up to adulthood, it'll take at least 20 years. So therefore, we have to have a parental heart today. If you be like Paul in the way that he shared the gospel, you will be able to bring people to God. Do you amen to that? If you be like Paul, you will be able to bring people to God and we'll have no seats left. So say to brothers and sisters around you, you have to make disciples of all nations. Not just me, but you also. Is that enough? And the third point is teach disciples to obey everything God has commanded. We have successfully brought inmate to believe in Christ. It is very difficult, but we have done it. It's not because we are that great, because God was answering our prayers. Because God was with us. Because God showed mercy to him. Because God is willing to use us to pay visits to the inmates. It took us a lot of effort to have inmates turn to God, and we don't find satisfaction just from that. Because God still has words to speak. Because it says you have to teach them and teach them to obey everything I have commanded. If a child is disobedient, it's because the parents are not doing their job. When we bring someone into church and become a Christian, become children of God, we have to also teach them. In today's world, you see a lot of children, disobedient children. And why are they like that, disobedient? Well, of course, the parents have the greatest responsibility. And also grandparents. Because every one of them has focused to make him the center of the world, him or her the center of the world. Why not use God's word to teach them from youth? So there's many people, many Christians who do not obey God's command. For example, sexual immorality is very common these days. So many have sinned but aren't willing to repent. Is that not anxious for you? It's because of sin we have been separated from God. Don't think that, oh, I'm an old Christian, there's no problem. I have done this, that, this, and that in the past for God. And this church, when it was built, I put out a third of money for the church. Do you account what you have done, or do you repent in front of God? And there's no such thing as using your good to cover up the bad. The things that you have done in the past that pleases God, it's what you should be doing. But today, if you sin, you have to repent. You don't look at other pastor or deacon, they have done the same thing, so therefore I do the same thing. I once heard that a pastor in a big church in New York City once said this. And he says, oh, my marriage right now is my second marriage. I don't know why he had a second marriage. If it was me, I wouldn't ask this pastor to come and share the gospel, share a sermon. Do you think pastors can divorce and also remarry? Well, I agree if the pastor's wife has passed away and he can. So a while back, someone have sinned sexual immorality and they aren't willing to admit it. Even to a point that he made the church split and half the church went with him, and a couple of pastors went with him as well, agree with him. Doesn't matter what good things he has done in the past, building a church, giving so much tithe, today he has sinned against God and he has made the church split. He is in sin. We have to follow what the Bible says. Because it says, what God has joined together, no one can separate. Paul, in 2 Timothy, he said said many commands. It says, those people who have sinned against God cannot receive the kingdom. If you sin against one of the commands that I have listed, one of the commands is sexual immorality. Today we not only learn and obey God's command ourselves, we also have to share with others that they have to obey God's command. A male Christian came to me one day asking me, can I divorce? I said no. He says, I asked so many people said you can divorce. How come you alone saying that you cannot divorce? Because I brought him the Bible in Matthew, it says, "What God has joined together, let no one separate." If you think your shirt, your clothes doesn't fit, you can return. I have no problem with that. If you think your wife isn't good and you want to return, I do not agree with that. Because God has said so. A Christian once said to me, "I cannot quit smoking. I cannot quit drinking. I cannot quit gambling." I asked him, "Why not? Why can't you?" "It's probably because you don't want to." Because he asked the right person. I used to smoke. I used to drink. I used to gamble. I quit all of them. With one, can you not quit? Because you are not relying on God. Today, there's a lot of Christians who use curse words when they speak, the moment they open their mouth. Today, should you follow God's command? If you look at God's command, if there's one that you're not following, you have to repent. If you don't repent yourself, how are you making the duty of teaching others? Because Jesus asked us to teach. We have to be a teacher ourselves. When you are a Christian for many years, those who come after you, you are an example. You are a teacher for them. A couple months ago, a brother came up to me and saying he cannot tie the tenth. Thank the Lord, he was very honest that he cannot do a tenth tithing. I encourage him that you must. Because I say this is one of the least commands that God has taught us, and you must follow. He says, "I used to give a $40 tithe." After listening to your sermon, I now tithe $100. But he says, "I admit that I am not up to a tenth." So again, I once say to him, "You must do a tenth of the tithe." And he says, "Oh, I actually finally did it. I gave $200 now because God has given me a raise." So teaching a Christian to follow God's command, whose responsibility is it? And of course, pastors are duty bound. And how about you? When someone sees someone sinning against someone in church, the husband and wife will say, "Oh, don't go up to it. It's pastor's responsibility, none of our business." If no one is willing to go to that person who sinned and say they're wrong, then we should all just go home. If you have heard or you've seen someone sinning against God, with a caring heart, you should go to that specific person and ask them about the situation, and to a point that they're willing to repent and admit their faults. Because that is God's command. He's teaching us to follow that command. And to teach disciples to obey
everything.
Because when you are teaching others, you yourself will be cleansed. You will see your own flaws. Because when you're teaching others, in behind the scenes, you actually are teaching yourself. You are being changed. In that way, we can head towards goodness together. And only then, church can be revived. Sin is like an infectious disease. It can cause the whole church to crumble. We know that God is holy, so we must be holy. If there is a weak body amongst us, we have the responsibility to care for them. Don't think that when we confess with our lips is merely enough when we say Jesus is our Lord. And don't think that, oh, I believe is merely enough. I don't really have to care about others. Jesus says this to the disciple. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. So therefore, we have the responsibility to teach other Christians to follow God's command. So when Christian asked me about smoking, gambling, or drinking, I was once like that. I have walked away from that. And I know how to encourage others. When someone sins against God, we don't want to just push them aside. We have to be like what Jesus said to Simon, that when you that your faith may not fail, when you have turned back, you have to strengthen your brothers who have fallen. Jesus said, you have disowned me three times. Do you think that they will not? What I hate the most is when some Christian, they themselves sin and they try to hide it. And when other people sin, they immediately go point fingers at them. We have to teach. Paul says, in the world of sinners, I'm the worst of them. However, I have received mercy. Because God has put his mercy on me so that I can be an example for those who follow me. So therefore, we have the responsibility to care for those who are going to believe. It doesn't matter if it's an older Christian or pastor or deacon. As long as they sin against God, you have the responsibility to talk to them. When they sin against God, you have the responsibility to talk to them. You have the responsibility to teach them. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for believers in speech and conduct and love, in faith and in purity. When you have done all those, you have the words and the authority to teach others. In Acts chapter 2, we recorded many times Peter preaching to people. Not only the people believed, they also are willing to obey disciples' teaching. God can use Peter in early churches. In the same way, he can use the church in this day and also you and I. Do you amen to that? We have to be a blessing to all nations. Do you still remember the 3 points? We have to go and spread the gospel. What's the second point? Do you still remember? That bring all nations to God. And the third is to teach the disciples to follow God's command. If we all, every one of us do what has been commanded, your household will be blessed. Your community will be blessed. And those people who you have touched will be blessed. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you. Because you have all authority. And you are the only Savior for the world. We have been chosen by you. You have given us the greatest commission. Even though we are lowly, and we are limited in our abilities, but God, you are with us always. When we do the greatest commission, you told us you will be with us until the ends of the ages. When we have the Lord, what are we afraid of? So therefore, we must boldly enter into the crowd. And through the Lord, we are willing to proclaim the gospel. Through the might of the Lord and of the Holy Spirit, we'll be willing to share the gospel. We want to be renewed each day by you. Our life be more abundant. And sin can no longer bind us. We were purchased by you, by your blood. We want to stand by your side every day. We want to bring people to you. We want to use your authority to teach those who have all sinned against you. Lord, when we follow your command, we will have the ability and authority to teach others. Lord, may you please bless those who have listened to your sermon today, so that they can be a blessing to all the nations. We give all the glory to you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.